Hey folks, Sam Cedar here. You're listening to a free version of the Ring of Fire Radio podcast. If you want the total show without commercials, head over to ROFpodcast.com and become a member of this program. Look, this is our main source of revenue for Ring of Fire Radio, and you can help keep us on the air by signing up for a Ring of Fire podcast membership. For far less than a cup of coffee a week, you can support this program and get our full show. Head over to ROFpodcast.com right now and sign up. Much appreciated.
Welcome to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Farron Cousins, host of Ring of Fire on YouTube, and I'll be sitting in for Sam Cedar this week. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about the latest developments regarding the Nunes memo and why the narrative surrounding that memo took less than a week to completely fall apart. We'll take a look at the massive failures of Donald Trump's opioid commission that's being spearheaded by Kellyanne Conway. And Paul Ryan thinks that we should be thanking the GOP for every single dollar that we earn, quite literally. But what he's saying behind closed doors is even worse than what we read on his Twitter feed. I'll tell you all about it. We have all that and much, much more coming up on today's Ring of Fire Radio. And don't forget, you can go to ROFpodcast.com and sign up for the free one-hour version of the Ring of Fire Radio podcast. And if you want the full show commercial-free, you can become a member. That's the best way to support this show. That's ROFpodcast.com. One of the biggest stories that's developed this past week, obviously, was the Devin Nunes memo released by the House Intelligence Committee last Friday. And at the time, and even before the memo came out, Republicans were sure, they were absolutely positive that not only was this memo going to end the Mueller investigation, but it could very likely, according to what they were telling us, end up with Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, anybody who's ever seen a Democrat in their life. They were probably all going to prison. That was the narrative surrounding this Nunes memo. Everybody in the Democratic Party was going down. The Mueller investigation was going to be over. It was a slam dunk memo by Devin Nunes. People like Matt Gaetz were telling us that. Senator Ron Johnson, he was out there talking about this secret FBI society designed to take down Donald Trump. And all of it, every bit, was going to be exposed in this Nunes memo. So last Friday, they released the memo and nothing happened. What actually did happen from that was that everybody from FBI to sitting Republicans and pretty much 99.9% of the Democratic Party said, that's it. This 3.5 page thing is your explosive memo where it contradicts itself in various points, where it says that the Steele dossier was absolutely why the investigation started. And then it also says later on that the Steele dossier was not the only reason that the investigation started. And then it talks about, yeah, Carter Page was already under surveillance, or at least on the FBI's radar, so yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, Devin Nunes had been pumping this thing for weeks, Republicans all over the place pumping it for weeks, telling us this was the end. We were exposing everything, and it blew up in their faces last Friday. And then, somehow, remarkably for Republicans, it got worse. It got worse. On Tuesday of this past week, Devin Nunes goes on Fox and Friends, and they ask him about the memo, but specifically, to their credit, Fox and Friends actually asked a decent question here. They said, you know, in this FBI report that you based your memo on, they actually do mention specifically that the Steele dossier was not the basis of this investigation, and that is what they told the FISA court judge. And Devin Nunes said, yes, you know what? You're right. So right there, before we go any further into that, take a minute to appreciate the fact that Devin Nunes admitted that the entire basis of his memo was built upon a lie that he himself created, a lie that he himself knew was not true. He knew that the FBI had told the FISA court everything, that they had given every piece of available information, even the ones that Nunes himself said they didn't give him. He admitted that on Fox and Friends on Tuesday. And then, to go even further, Nunes then said, yes, they admitted it, but here's the problem. They put it in a footnote in the original documents that they gave to Nunes. So it was a footnote. It wasn't the same size. They didn't highlight it. So Nunes essentially admitted on Fox News that this entire Nunes memo, the entire Republican outrage about the FISA warrant, Carter Page, all of this was built because they were mad about the font size, because it was a footnote, because it was a little too small for them to read, I guess. I'm not sure the logic on that, but that's what he was saying the problem was. They didn't highlight it. Okay, well, go into your House of Representatives supply room, grab a highlighter, highlight it yourself. Boom, problem solved. I just solved your problems, Devin Nunes, with a 90-cent highlighter. This is how ridiculous it is. And it actually, I hate to even say it, it actually gets worse for the Republicans. Because after Nunes goes on television and tells us that, yeah, he had lied about the FBI not giving the FISA court all of the information they in fact did. And yeah, he knew it was in the original document. It was just, you know, the text was a little smaller, so maybe it was harder to read. But he then tells us he's not done. He's got more memos. He's going to come up with even more. He's going to take down the entire intelligence apparatus. He is going to take down the entire Justice Department with all of these memos that are coming out. So in spite of the fact that he spent weeks hyping a memo that blew up in his face, that even members of his own party like Trey Gowdy have admitted, yeah, this really is not going to affect the Mueller investigation one way or another. It's certainly not going to shut it down. Nunes is insistent that he is going to continue releasing memos as long as he possibly can, because maybe, I guess he figures, if he throws enough memos out there, eventually something's going to stick. Maybe he'll uncover something, or maybe he'll continue to waste everybody's time pumping up himself, hyping himself, making us believe or think in some way that Devin Nunes actually gives a damn about what's happening in this country, when in reality, he just wants the publicity. This guy is a miniature Donald Trump. He wants people to pay attention to him. He wants people focusing on him. He wants people talking about Devin Nunes at the dinner table. That is what this guy is all about. His memo from last Friday was about the biggest dud you could imagine. And he's still out there telling us that he's going to release more, even after he admitted that he lied in that memo. And he admitted that on Fox News to the diehard audience that actually believed that these memos were somehow going to take down the entire Democratic Party. Well, it didn't happen. We're still waiting. Go ahead and release more memos. Show the American public just how stupid and partisan you can be. Because I don't think that there is any rational thinking person in this country that thinks you're going to come out with any kind of memo that's going to take anybody down other than perhaps taking down your credibility just a few notches. Look, we need to take a quick break. If you want to support Ring of Fire, you can do so by subscribing to the Ring of Fire podcast. That's ROFpodcast.com. You can also support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheRingOfFire. Sign up. You get exclusive access to early access videos, online polls, all while supporting progressive, independent media. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. I'm Farron Cousins, and for Sam Cedar, we'll be right back with more Ring of Fire Radio.
There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been, and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day. Preachers on the podium speaking of saints. Prophets on the sidewalk begging for change. Old ladies laughing from the fire escape, cursing my name. I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window and a pigeon with...
Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Farron Cousins from Ring of Fire on YouTube. I'm sitting in for Sam Cedar this week. Before the break, I was talking about the Nunes memo and how that became probably the biggest nothing burger that we've been served up throughout all of 2018. I know we've only had a couple weeks into the year, but still a pretty big nothing burger served to us on a silver platter there by Devin Nunes. Now, what's interesting... moving a little bit away from the memo at this point, is that on Monday morning, following the Friday release of that memo this past Monday, Donald Trump was obviously upset about the fact that this memo was a dud, that it didn't include any information that in any way would implicate the FBI in any kind of wrongdoing with the FISA court. And as I previously mentioned, Nunes himself admitted on Tuesday on Fox and Friends that he actually understood that the FBI didn't lie to the FISA court. So Monday morning, Donald Trump's mad. He understands that this memo is not going to do what he wanted it to do. It did not totally vindicate him, as he claimed over the past weekend. So what did he do? He got on Twitter, as he often does, and rather than, I don't know, talking about the economy, talking about anything that's an actual problem in the United States, now, he decides to go after Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, by saying this. This is his tweet. Little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for higher office, is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington, right up there with Comey, Warner, Brennan, and Clapper. Adam leaves closed committee hearings to illegally leak confidential information. Must be stopped. That was Donald Trump's tweet on Monday morning, again referring to Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. He accused Schiff in that tweet essentially of a felony, of leaving committee hearings, closed door, classified, confidential committee hearings, for the sole purpose of leaking information to the press. Now, I don't care what you think about Adam Schiff, if you're a fan, if you're not a fan or whatever, accusing somebody of a felony is a pretty big deal, especially when you're the president of the United States, like Donald Trump is. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever to back up this claim by Donald Trump that Adam Schiff is leaking classified information to the press. If that were the case, don't you think his memo would have been out a little bit sooner? Don't you think we would have known about that probably even before the Nunes memo was released? Donald Trump is terrified right now. His lawyers are terrified. His son, Donald Trump Jr., who went on Tucker Carlson's show Monday evening, said that Democrats are scared. They're running scared. Yeah, we want all the memos released just for the matter of transparency, but the Democrats are super scared, Donald Trump Jr. told us. Well, guess what? No Democrats are scared right now. I mean, we're laughing. We're laughing because your memo was so ridiculous. We're laughing because you guys sit there and defend a guy who goes on Twitter and attacks Democrats by calling one of them Little Adam Schiff. Donald Trump's preoccupation with size notwithstanding, no Democrats are scared. We're not terrified of what information is going to be released. We're unhappy about information that hasn't been released. We're unhappy about the stupidity that seems to be commonplace among elected Republican officials right now. But scared ain't the word I would use to describe any Democrats in this country at this moment. Scared is what Donald Trump's lawyers are. Reports started coming out again this week that Donald Trump's own legal team, minus one lawyer, are basically begging him at this point to not give an interview to Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller because, and this is the important thing, they believe, Donald Trump's legal team believes that if he goes and testifies or interviews with Robert Mueller, that he is going to commit a crime, specifically perjury, because he will lie to Robert Mueller if he gets pulled in for questioning. So Trump's own legal team, again, minus one lawyer, I'll get to that in a moment, but his entire legal team understands, they know him, and they say that we can't trust him to go talk to Robert Mueller because he will lie. Not because we're afraid he's going to walk into a trap, but just because the guy is so dishonest, we can't trust him to go talk to investigators because if he does, perjury is right around the corner. And if his own legal team can't trust him, if his lawyers do not believe that he can sit and be honest for a few minutes, why should anyone in this country ever trust what Donald Trump has to say? The people who know him best, the people who are trying to keep him out of prison, are telling us that this man can't be trusted, that he is a liar. They're telling us that in non-equivocal terms. That's what they're advising him because they know who he is, they know what he does, and they know what he's all about. And again, there's one guy, one member of Donald Trump's legal team who is not saying this, who's not saying don't testify. In fact, he's saying, yeah, go ahead, sit down with him. Go testify. Why don't you guys go out for drinks after? I don't care. And that lawyer happens to be Ty Cobb, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, the guy who's been with Trump longer than anybody. He wants Donald Trump to go testify. Why? I don't know. I really, for the life of me, after working very closely with lawyers for 14 years now, I cannot understand why Ty Cobb, one, is still Donald Trump's lawyer, but two, why he would want Donald Trump to testify. Is it because he's afraid that if he doesn't, he's going to get subpoenaed and then have to go in front of the grand jury and not just Robert Mueller? Possibly. But I don't think Ty Cobb is that good of a lawyer to think that far ahead. I think Ty Cobb is so in the pocket of Donald Trump that he doesn't understand what a liar and manipulator the guy is and believes that if he goes and testifies, he's going to be absolved. You know, the whole thing's going to go away. It's going to blow over. Trump, his own words, will save him. I believe that is what Ty Cobb thinks. I don't think he's looking at the long game. I do not think he's worried about a subpoena. I think Ty Cobb believes that this investigation is going to go away very soon and nothing could be further from the truth. We need to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the opioid epidemic and the fact that Kellyanne Conway is spearheading it for the Trump administration and why that should give us all reason to worry. We'll be right back with more Ring of Fire Radio. Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Farron Cousins from Ring of Fire's YouTube. I'm sitting in for Sam Cedar this week. If you want to help support Ring of Fire, you can subscribe to our podcast at rofpodcast.com. You can become a patron for Ring of Fire on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/TheRingOfFire. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel for fresh content 7 days a week, rain or shine. We have new videos for you every single day. That is youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. An interesting story developed this week. As most people know, Kellyanne Conway, White House counselor to Donald Trump, was appointed towards the end of last year as the head of his opioid commission. Basically, Kellyanne Conway, the woman that invented the Bowling Green Massacre, the woman that invented the term alternative facts when describing the president's manner of speaking, is in charge of opioid policy for the United States. And it was revealed this week in an interview or article, I should say, by Politico, that Kellyanne Conway, as the head of this opioid commission, is completely shutting out experts on drug policy and drug abuse from being a part of the committee's meetings. She's not even letting them inside. Instead, this commission is being filled with political hacks, partisan hacks, who have no interest whatsoever in actually tackling the opioid problem. And instead, they're using the commission to push two separate policies, according to Politico. One, they want the border wall. They somehow think, I guess, that building a wall along our southern border is going to help with the opioid crisis. The second thing, the second policy they're actively working on, is basically a just say no campaign. Kellyanne Conway herself has said that the way to beat opioid addiction is to just never start. If you don't take opioids, you can't get addicted to opioids. Why didn't anybody else think of this? Oh my God, Kellyanne Conway's a genius. Well, no, that's actually not at all how this works. According to Politico, 175 people in the United States are dying every single day from opioid addiction. Other official government websites have that number at about 115 people are dying every day. So I think we know at a minimum we've got 115 dead every single day. American citizens dying in their homes, dying in the streets from opioid overdose. And Kellyanne Conway wants to come up and say, just say no and just say yes to a border wall because somehow that's going to stop it. Does Kellyanne Conway honestly believe that the opioid problem in the United States is coming from across the border? Or does she not realize that this opioid problem, one of the biggest public health crises of today, this isn't coming across the border? These aren't, you know, drug hustlers on street corners handing out opioids. These are guys in Armani suits sitting up in their fat corporate offices making $1 billion a year pushing these pills on American citizens. That is what the opioid crisis is. That is why this is unlike any other drug epidemic that this country has ever faced. And that's why we need real people with real solutions to address these real problems. And Kellyanne Conway isn't the person. She doesn't understand enough. She, unfortunately, is not good enough to do this. And she is shutting experts out of the meetings, not letting them have a say, not letting them have a word, while at the same time, Republicans and even some Democrats are taking big money from pharmaceutical companies, the same companies that are profiting off the deaths of American citizens. And the cost for those deaths, those are on me and you. Those are on taxpayers. We're the ones footing the bills when somebody overdoses in the street. We're the ones footing the bills when somebody goes into the hospital because they've OD'd. They haven't died, but they OD'd, and then they can't pay their bills. That's on us. We're paying the cost. Big Pharma's pulling in billions of dollars, and Kellyanne Conway thinks we can stop it with a border wall and a just say no campaign. That's not going to work. It's never worked, and we need somebody that understands a little bit about drug policy in the United States to tackle this problem, because Kellyanne Conway and her cabal of Republican know-nothings are not good enough to get this done. And unfortunately, that's what we have right now in the United States. We have an administration that doesn't understand policy, that doesn't understand national problems. You know, I think when you get to the heart of it, that's a lot of the issue we have today. We elected a president, the Electoral College elected a president who didn't spend a single day of his life worrying about national policy. He never spent a day in his life thinking about it. He never spent a day in his life thinking about the ramifications of national policies. And now, this guy, who knows nothing of politics, nothing of laws, nothing of public safety, is in charge of all of us. Our lives are essentially in his hands. If you or a family member are on opioids or have been addicted to opioids or been hospitalized because of opioids or been prescribed opioids. Your life's in Kellyanne Conway's hands. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel knowing that Kellyanne Conway is the one to prevent you from dying of an opioid overdose because your doctor didn't tell you these things were highly addictive, the distributors didn't tell the doctors they were addictive, and the drug companies didn't tell the distributors that they were highly addictive? I've seen the documents in these cases. The things that these drug companies have done, Purdue, the maker of OxyContin, some of their internal documents would scare the life out of you. Them talking about the fact that, quote, it's payday in the neighborhood, when communities were getting hooked on opioids and they were shipping millions upon millions of pills to towns that had populations of about 10,000. They would ship them 2.5 million pills, knowing that they got people addicted, but more importantly for them, that they were going to get huge payday bonuses because they were selling the hell out of these pills, leaving a trail of dead bodies in their wake. This is how corporations work, folks. This is how America works. People aren't dying from opioids because of a border crisis. This is good old-fashioned American greed and capitalism that's killing people. That's what's happening. And Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump will never understand that because they don't know how it works. They don't care how it works. Donald Trump is only interested in how much money he can make off being president of the United States, not what problems he can solve. That never concerned him. He doesn't care that we're facing this massive public health crisis. He doesn't care. All he cares about, as his son pointed out, is the color green, the color of money. He doesn't care that people die in the streets from overdoses. He doesn't care that families are being torn apart because parents get prescribed these pills not knowing how dangerous they are. You know, this affects all walks of life. This isn't a poor thing. This isn't a rich thing. This is everybody. Opioid addiction can happen to anyone who gets prescribed these medications. And until we have an administration that understands how this works and understands that it is a real problem that requires real solutions, this problem is going to get worse. There are a lot of lawsuits right now against cities, brought by cities against opioid manufacturers and distributors. That right now is our only hope, because we have seen the evidence is out there showing that our current government, Kellyanne Conway, Donald Trump, they don't understand the problem and they have absolutely no intention of fixing it. I'm Farron Cousins, and for Sam Cedar this week, you are listening to Ring of Fire Radio. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Farron Cousins, sitting in for Sam Cedar this week. This week has been huge for the state of Pennsylvania. And no, I am not talking about the Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl. What I'm talking about is that the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court struck down the state's gerrymandered congressional maps. The last election in the state of Pennsylvania, Republicans won 13 of the state's 18 congressional seats, even though Democrats won a majority of the popular vote statewide. They had gerrymandered that state so badly that Republicans simply could not lose no matter how many Democrats showed up and voted. So the Supreme Court in the state of Pennsylvania saw this and said, you know what? Not going to happen. This is blatant gerrymandering. You got to fix it. So Republicans in the state said, okay, we'll fix it, but can we at least do it after this year's elections? And this week, the Supreme Court said, hell no. You're not going to wait till after the election. What's the point? You're going to do it now. And these new districts are going to be in place by the time the 2018 midterms roll around. So what did the Republicans do? Did they sit there and say, all right, we got busted. Let's go ahead and fix this thing. No. This is from Think Progress explaining what Republicans have decided to do. In a direct attack on the rule of law, Pennsylvania State Representative Chris Dush sent a memo to his colleagues on Monday asking them to co-sponsor articles of impeachment against five of the state's seven Supreme Court justices. So rather than admit that they gerrymandered the hell out of that state for political gain and say, okay, we were wrong, we'll fix it, their response is not to address their wrongdoing, but to somehow create some kind of wrongdoing on behalf of these Supreme Court justices to remove them from office. They don't want to take responsibility for screwing up democracy, so they would rather impeach five of the seven justices on the court because they can't handle what they've done, or at least the consequences of what they've done. They know that when they go back and have to redraw these districts, they're going to lose. They're going to lose power in the state of Pennsylvania. They're going to lose a lot of control. They're going to lose a lot of seats. But that's because that's what needs to happen. Because right now, the way those districts are drawn, they do not represent the will of the people of the state of Pennsylvania. So kudos to these Supreme Court justices. Shame on people like Chris Dush trying to impeach them, even though they haven't even committed a crime. But that's what we're dealing with the Republican Party today. And it's not just Pennsylvania. The state of Alabama recently, still bitter over the fact that Roy Moore lost the special election to Doug Jones, the state house voted to end special elections. So no more of that. They're not going to risk losing a seat because they put up a child molester. So we're just going to get rid of democracy in the state of Alabama. Not just Alabama either. Right now, state of Wisconsin under Scott Walker's rule, they've got open state Senate seats, and Scott Walker will not let a vote happen to replace those missing state senators because he's afraid that Democrats are going to win. And that's what just happened in Alabama. That's why they voted to end special elections. That's why Republicans in Pennsylvania are mad about their gerrymandered districts. Republicans at the state level are actively working to quite literally take democracy away from people. Say that you no longer get to vote, or if you do vote, I'm going to stick this one liberal in this district with 100 conservatives so that your vote doesn't matter. No matter what you do, you can't win. Alabama and Wisconsin are just saying, screw it, you're not going to get to vote at all. We're just going to take that away from you. I know you want to be represented in this, you know, state democracy, but guess what? You're not going to. That's what we're fighting back against right now. Republicans literally, you know, they tried for years to take away the right to vote from as many people as possible. And now, instead of taking away the right to vote, they're just taking away the vote. They're not even being, you know, covert about it. They're not trying to sugarcoat it. They're not trying to hide it. They're just doing it. And that is a massive, massive problem for this country. It's a massive problem for voters in the states of Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Alabama and everywhere else where this is being tried. People are losing their right to choose who represents them because Republicans understand how wildly unpopular their party is, how wildly unpopular their policies are, and they just can't risk it anymore. They don't want to take a chance of saying that, you know what, voters actually prefer Democrats on this issue, so we're just not going to let anybody vote. And of course, you can't talk about voting. You can't talk about Republican policies. You can't talk about Wisconsin without bringing up Paul Ryan. Last weekend, Paul Ryan tweeted out the following. A secretary at a public school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, said she was pleasantly surprised her pay went up $1.50 a week. She said that will more than cover her Costco membership for the year. So last Saturday, Paul Ryan tells us that we should be celebrating, we should be thanking Republicans for their massive tax cut package because one public school secretary is getting an extra $1.50 a week. It should be noted that this tweet came out from Paul Ryan's personal Twitter account, not his at Speaker Ryan. This was at P Ryan. But he tweeted that connected to an article about Republican tax cuts. So yes, he was linking this woman's $1.50 a week pay raise to his tax cuts, even though she's an employee of a public school, which wasn't affected whatsoever by his tax cuts. But that's beside the point. The point is, he wants us to cheer on the Republicans, to grovel at their feet and thank them because somebody got a $1.50 raise. That's how little they think of us. They think we, the American workers, the American public, are so destitute that a $1.50 a week changes our lives. I understand there are people who, yeah, $1.50 a week does make a difference. It really does. But to expect us to be grateful for a $1.50 when massive corporations are getting millions upon millions of dollars a year in tax breaks? No, you got to come with something better than that, buddy. You got to give us more than a $1.50 if you want us to be grateful while you're handing out your own donors millions upon millions of dollars and they in turn, like the Koch brothers, write you a check for $500,000. No, that's not how this works. That's not how this is going to work, Mr. Ryan. You've got to do better. Everyone in this country understands what you are about. You are about yourself. You're about your next campaign. You're about raising money. You're about cutting taxes for the wealthy because you know it's going to help you on your personal taxes, and you know it's going to come back to you a little bit in the form of campaign donations. A $1.50 a week, that doesn't matter to you. You don't care if American workers even get raises. Less than 2% of the country, as a result of the Republican tax cuts, have gotten any kind of raise and or bonus. Less than 2%. And they're out there every day telling us that we need to be grateful to them, that we need to grovel at their feet because they're giving us crumbs. And yes, a $1.50 a week, that qualifies as a crumb. And Paul Ryan thinks we should be grateful for that. Look, we got to take a quick break. Coming up in hour two, we're going to take a very unique look at gun control. A solution that many people may not have thought of yet. And don't forget, you can support the show by going to our Patreon, patreon.com/TheRingOfFire. I'm Farron Cousins. I'm sitting in for Sam Cedar this week. We'll be right back with more Ring of Fire Radio.